This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Rob, I still can't. I looked again. I can't find Diesel. I mean, I don't.
I'm gonna text him.
Yeah, because let's see. I mean, because there's no way he pulled his bracket.
Remind me.
He just changed his name.
He had to. Remind me at the break, and I will. I will shoot the D train a text. To find out, I'll tell them the people want answers. The people need to know, did you yank your bracket entirely or did you change its name? I need to know. I got to know because I also looked and I also didn't see it. I see Cole still. I don't see the D trains. All right.
Yeah, because Cole, like me, went all caps.
Yeah.
So it just stands out.
Yeah.
But Diesel's was D's knees, and I don't see it. Maybe if someone's listening and you can find it on there, let us know, because what it's a chance of maybe we just overlooked it,
which is possible because we are trying to do an award winning radio show here.
Well, I looked for it like 5 or 6 times before the show started, and I've looked a couple times during the break, just thinking maybe there's a chance that I just missed it.
Yeah, I'm looking through it one more time, and I do not see it.
Because is that the sort of thing we let him live down if he did that? I personally probably wouldn't. But I mean, as a show and as listeners, do you let him live that down if he pulled his bracket?
I mean, listen, I personally feel like the shame that he would experience would be enough.
I remember a former employee. We were doing the most famous sports people in the state of South Carolina, and it looked like friend of the show, the Big Show, was going to win, which is one of the people that I added. He needed a couple extra, and so the bracket just disappeared. It just never came. It just suddenly just stopped doing it. So I mean, you know, maybe precedent has been set, and so yeah, I don't know. I mean, it would just be unfortunate.
It would be. Listen, I'm not gonna say what's gonna happen here. I'm simply gonna say I think for me,
he just changed the name. There's no way he pulled it.
I think for me, it would be a matter of I think it would earn a call out, and then I think I would leave it to y'all to decide what the punishment or what the shame should be if he did indeed yoink his bracket after a tough opening round. If he did indeed yank the bracket, I will leave it up to y'all to decide what the shame level should be for that. It is 8 o'clock in the morning. Got a couple of things to let you know. Numero uno, we got John Blau of the Post and Courier coming up to join us here in about 37 minutes from right now. We will ask him, now that not only is the season over, but now that we've had a couple of days to sleep on it, what the future of Clemson basketball looks like. We will also take a look over at the Clemson baseball team. Took 2 out of 3 against Wake Forest. It has been a minute since Los Tigres were able to get one over on the Demon Deacons on the heart or on the diamond. So we'll talk to John Blau about what went right for Clemson baseball and what it means as ACC play is now underway in college hardball. That's coming up at 8:40, but right now it is time for the Audio Blitz, the best audio we've picked up since the last time we did the Audio Blitz. Those of you that have listened to the show for any length of time, you may know, and I will admit something here that I should not admit on the radio, but I will nonetheless. Rob Brown suffers with a touch of the diagnosed ADHD. And there are times that that's a massive benefit for me because having a touch of the diagnosed ADHD it means my attention can be in multiple places at once. And when I mean for that to happen, it makes me a world-class multitasker. That superpower is never more in play than it is during the March Madness tournament. There are other times where it's a bit of a problem because I can also go to the other end of the spectrum and hyperfixate on something. That is, become so engrossed in something that other, equally and sometimes more important tasks can take a back seat. Charles Barkley was on TV because a portion of the Inside the NBA on TNT crew also does CBS's studio show for the tournament. And Chuck and the gang, including Ernie and Kenny, were all watching basketball together when Ernie asked a question of Chuck Barkley about a game that was not the Michigan State Bryant game. Chuck straight up said on nationally syndicated television, I wasn't watching. Ernie, why don't you ask somebody else?
I can personally say that I have never not been paying attention to the show. So, you know, that would never happen on this side.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen. There were 3 games going on, including one, because Michigan State for a minute there was trailing Bryant. This is a Michigan State team. Chuck's got him in the Final Four, knocking off Auburn to get there. There's a lot of people that do. Tom Izzo's team.
I got him in my final.
Yeah. A lot of people got Michigan State, and I don't blame you. Sparty was playing good basketball going into through the Big Ten tourney and then into the Big Dance. A lot of people, including Chuck, riding with MSU. So he was locked in because Bryant, which I can tell you nothing about, was giving Sparty everything they wanted and a little bit more. And Chuck said, yeah, I got nothing, buddy. I wasn't watching that game. Whatever game you're talking about, I was locked in on MSU. And I respect that. John Calipari, the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, they were up against St. John's Red Storm, led by Rick Pitino. And a lot of people, me included, were rolling with the Red Storm. I bought into the Rick Pitino hype, and I don't think I was wrong for buying into the Rick Pitino hype. I didn't buy into the John Cal hype. I just thought Rick Pitino had a better team. Turns out, the Razorbacks, whoa, Pitsui, got the better of them. Why did that sound like Goofy? That was questionable.
I don't know. It definitely sounded like more like a Mel Blanc
voice.
Yeah,
it was not good.
Yeah.
Either way, John Cal, walking off the court, got asked by the CBS Sports sideline reporter about the folks that doubted his Razorbacks. and he dropped a bar. They threw us in a coffin. They just forgot the nails.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
A line from John Cal. I freaking love that. They put us in a coffin. They just forgot the nails. And we came right back out. Bong. That's spectacular. That's spectacular. All right.
Did you just say bong?
Yeah, I was trying to do like the Undertaker thing because I don't have it over here. There it is. There it is. That is now the official soundbite of the Arkansas Razorbacks. They put us in the coffin. They just forgot the nails. Buddy, I'm right back on the John Calipari train. Right back on the John Cal train. All right, let's keep going. John Skipper used to be the man in charge of the four-letter network, ESPN. He's not anymore. And he has been spending some time on the podcast circuit, including on Pablo Torres' podcast, Pablo Finds Out. And in the following clip, Pablo finds out something very interesting, according to John Skipper. Take it with a grain of salt about the future of the NCAA tournament. So John Skipper says that for at least a few years now, quietly, behind the scenes, behind closed doors, the expansion of the NCAA basketball championship tournament has not been discussed, moving from 64 to 76 or whatever that number was, or 84 or whatever that number was, that they have already had discussions about moving it to 96 teams that make it into the tournament. And ladies and gentlemen, what you're going to find here is a very interesting conversation that we have had many times about many things. We have ourselves a bit of a market conundrum. Where is the crest where the amount of money in does not hit the apex where the product is saturated and people go, nah, it's not interesting anymore, right? How much can, it reminds me of a movie franchise. They make a movie and it makes a gazillion dollars. And they go, oh, that made a gazillion dollars. We got to make a sequel. And they make a sequel. And it makes a gazillion dollars plus a dollar. And they go, oh, man, that's really good. Now we got to make it a trilogy. And they make it a trilogy, and it makes a gazillion dollars. And then at some point, it gets to the apex where you go, all right, we're still making money. We're still on the upward trajectory. But if we make one more, it's going to get to the point of either saturation or it's going to get to the point where it's real hard to tell a good story out of what we have so far. And the story suffers because of it. And either your audience gets bored because they go, we've seen this already. Or your audience goes, this story sucks now. And even though it came from something that we loved, we don't love it anymore and we're out. 96 feels like it would be, to me, past that saturation point. But the people in charge of said product, they're going to push that envelope as far as that envelope can be pushed. And John Skipper's saying 96 has been in play for a hot minute now. I think 96 hasn't happened yet, even though we've had the talk about moving it to, 78 or whatever, starting next year or the year after that. 96 hasn't been in play because you don't just like, phew, bottle rocket up to the top of that number. What you do is you just kind of go. I've told you the whole time, I think the college football playoff number is going to end up being probably 16 is where it's going to park at for a little while. But they didn't just go straight to 16. They went to 12 first. Why? To see if we as fans would buy in. And the answer is we did. and it was compelling, and we watched, and the numbers were there. So then they're going to go to 14 or 16 next. And then they're going to go up to 16. And they'll see. They'll hang out at 16 for 2 or 3 years. And if we're still there and the ratings are still there and we're all still in, then it'll go to the 6. Then it'll go up to 18. Then it'll go to 20. Then to 24. And wherever it is that the ratings stop growing, there'll be a number where you got everybody, every pair of eyeballs you can get. That's where they'll stop. College basketball's 96 is on the table. But they're going to ease toward, we're going to go into the 80s first, the 70s, the 80s, then the 90s to find out, do we bail out from the first round? Is there too much basketball in the first two rounds? When we have, instead of having 16 games on Thursday and 16 games on Friday, maybe we have 3 straight days of 16 games or 4 straight days of, maybe we have 2 days of 24 games. Where's the point where you're not adding any more eyeballs? Because that is what the number is ultimately going to be. It's a business decision, man. It really is. All right, one more before we run to a break. You all remember the saga of Lemon Pepper Lou? Remember during the COVID restrictions 5 years ago in the bubble? There was a big blow up. Lemon Pepper Lou got suspended for 10 games in the NBA bubble. Because he disappeared from the bubble and was seen at Magic City Gentlemen's Club in Atlanta, Georgia, having lemon pepper wings. Why? Because they're the best wings on planet Earth. Well, yesterday, Lou Williams showed up on Michelle Beadle's podcast, and he gave the actual story. So Lemon Pepper Lou said, I was at a funeral, and in Atlanta, we eat at the strip club, which, by the way, I've talked to people in Atlanta, because this has been a conversation we've been having on this show for 5 years running the Magic City Wings.
So kids and grandmas eat there?
Here's what I can tell you for a fact.
That made it sound like collective we, like all of Atlanta.
Here's what I can tell you for a fact, Lonzo. Magic City is on Uber Eats, and they turn tens of thousands of dollars a month on Uber Eats from people ordering wings from Magic City to their house. So it ain't wrong. But Lemon Pepper Lou says, I caught the suspension because they were making an example out of me, not because I did anything wrong. I don't know, man. We may have to revisit this. All right, when we come back, is Dan Hurley the most interesting man in sports right now? I'm not saying good. I'm not saying bad. I'm saying interesting. I'll tell you some comments that made me kind of think maybe he is. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. So, after the Michigan cheating scandal went down, a cheating scandal that after Michigan won the national championship, we all just kind of moved on from.
It's not a scandal.
I mean,
it's been proven to a degree.
Okay, fair. I mean, still scandalous.
There we go.
Scandalous in that.
Except for those of us who expect Michigan to do stuff like that.
Scandalous in that it happened. They won a natty, and the powers that be were just kind of like, okay, Jim Harbaugh just leaves. There were some other punishments handed down to assistant coaches and staffers and whatnot, but like they just kind of let it be what it is, right? Big scandal. And I said in a promo that we had running for a while, actually it may still be in the rotation, I said for a hot minute there, Jim Harbaugh, you already hang out with the dirtiest player in the game, Ric Flair. Woo! You might as well lean into being the heel. You might as well lean into being the bad guy. You might as well lean into the fact that everybody hates you and wants to see you fail and just remind them consistently and continuous, a lot of times in a row, that you are the dirtiest player in the game,
that's
and yet you are also.
One so far. That yeah, was no, tough. Wow.
I'm good-ish at this. Just remind him constantly that it doesn't matter if you hate me. It doesn't matter if you dislike me. It doesn't matter how you feel about me because I am the reigning defending, undisputed college football national champion. That's exactly right. But he leaves. He goes to the National Football League, and we've all just moved on from the story. But the point here is that I said for a while, just embrace being the dirtiest player in the game. Enter Dan Hurley, the head coach of the UConn Huskies. Now, Dan Hurley's had an interesting 3 years in a row. The Huskies went back to back national champs the last 2 years. This year, they were a public pick favorite to make a run back into the Final Four, but they ran up into a buzzsaw that is the Florida Gators. Dan Hurley and the Huskies gave Florida everything they wanted and a little bit more in the second round, but the Gators, down the stretch, just good enough to slip by the mighty Gators of Florida. So, it's been an interesting year, Dan Hurley, after the loss to the Florida Gators. The Baylor Bears were waiting in the tunnel to make their way out onto the hardwood because they had a scheduled showdown with another Final Four favorite, the Duke Blue Devils. And as Dan Hurley walked past the Bears, the cameras and the microphones were live.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As Dan Hurley walked by the Baylor Bears, who were getting ready to head out to the floor, he said, I hope they don't you like they duh us. I hope they don't do that to you, Baylor. Quote, end quote. And a lot of people say, well, that's kind of gross, Dan Hurley. That's kind of gross. It's kind of not okay, man. Like, and in fairness, Dan Hurley's UConn Huskies kind of slipped up down the stretch, man. They had like a 4 minute period. They couldn't find a bucket to save their lives. They had a couple of bad turnovers down the stretch. And Florida, definitely a national championship caliber basketball team, took advantage of those moments. And so a lot of people said, whoa, Dan Hurley, maybe that's just a little bit too much. But it's not. It's not the first time something like that has happened. Because earlier this year, there was another game that the UConn Huskies were in an absolute shootout. And Dan Hurley also felt in that game like it wasn't going his way. Now, there was no microphone pointed at Dan Hurley during that game. But on video, Dan Hurley very clearly is getting into the face of one of the officials and says to that official, I am the best game coach in the game. Like, it's clear as day, I'm not a professional lip reader. But even I saw that he said, I am the best coach in the game. As he was lobbying for his team to get more calls or the other team to get less calls or whatever his issue was in that moment. And that's just kind of Dan Hurley. Well, after that game was concluded, in the post-game presser, Dan Hurley was asked about telling a referee that he is the best coach in the game. And he responded thusly.
You know, Rob, sometimes people just look at you a certain way and they think you're something. I'm not a monster. I'm not.
Tell me right now that that's not one of the best wrestling heel promos you've heard in a long time. My man said, hey, did I say that? He started it with, did I say that? He said, did I say that? And then when the reporter said, yes, Daniel, all of us saw it. It wasn't exactly, and Dan Hurley, if you've seen him on the ground, he yells. He's not like walking in, like he yells. It's very clear what he said. Like I said, I'm not a lip reader, and even I was like, oh, okay. And then, once it's pointed out to him that, yes, Daniel, you did say to a referee, I'm the best coach in the game. He said, oh, well, you know, I wish they wouldn't put the cameras on me 90% of the time. I wish the cameras weren't on me, but I guess it helps y'all get ratings. That's the most heel promo I've ever heard cut. There are wrestling heels that don't cut a wrestling heel promo that good. My man initially started with a, did I say that? And they went, yeah, buddy, you're on national television. It's like when the bad guy come out, punches the champ in the face, and then goes to the back room, and they're like, hey, man, why did you punch the champ in the face? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Buddy, it's on a Jumbotron. We all saw it, buddy. And then he goes, well, Renee, let me tell you, if you guys wouldn't put the camera on me all the time because I'm a ratings machine. People want to see me. They want to hear me. They want to be me. If you didn't put the camera on me all the time, then maybe it wouldn't look like I'm such a bad influence on the kids out there. But if you want to keep getting the ratings out of me that you're getting out of me, then keep the camera on me, just like you're doing right now. But don't blame me when the camera shows what I did. Like, that's the best wrestling heel. There are pro wrestlers in the WWE that aren't cutting promos, that are not cutting promos as good as that heel promo from Dan Hurley. And I think that's interesting. After the UConn Huskies lost to the Florida Gators, Dan Hurley had to, once again, step in front of a microphone at a post-game press conference and was asked about the success of UConn and was asked about the attention that has been heaped upon not just his program, but him for being a heel. And he said this, the best heel not in wrestling. Like, he's the best wrestling heel not in wrestling.
Did he bring the bell? And the,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know.
Okay. Because
I have no idea.
It's implied, but I don't recall.
But my man said, I won't have to go throw out first pitches and do media appearances and ring the bell at the Dow Jones or the New York Stock Exchange, whatever it is. I don't know. I'm poor. This is Class A workshop. Put it on a video to show the next generation of bad guys how to be a bad guy. Out of Dan Hurley. It's spectacular work. Guy takes the L. The champ laid him on the center of the mat. 1, 2, 3. Pinned him clean. He goes to the back. He grabs the mic. And they're like, hey, man. You were out there telling refs that you're the best coach in the game. You're out there screaming at officials. You're telling Baylor as you leave the floor, I hope they don't you like they us. And then you took the fat L, Dan. How do you feel about it? My man goes, well, you know, it's sometimes it's hard to deal with the ego, you know? You have some success like I've had, and you get a little big for your britches, and sometimes you got to be taught a lesson. Sometimes a little humility goes a long way, and I have found that humility in this loss. You know, I was distracted. They asked me to throw out first pitches, and they asked me to go do media appearances, and they asked me to ring the bell at the New York Stock Exchange because, you know, we've had this incredible run of success, and sometimes even the best fall down. Sometimes even Superman gets hit with a little kryptonite and takes the L to Lex Luthor. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to us. And so, little humility, little humble. Like, the same dude that 3 minutes before that go into the locker room told Baylor, I hope they don't you like they us. 3 minutes later at the podium, he's like, hey, you know, we
we've had a good run, and sometimes you get a little big for your own britches, you know? Sometimes you just get a little carried away, and maybe that was me. Maybe that was us. And I think it's a good time for us to maybe head back into the locker room and just kind of sharpen up the game plan a little bit, you know? We want to be a champ again. Like, that's class A bad guy right there. And so there's this weird part of me as a wrestling fan. There's this weird part of me that is kind of a Dan Hurley fan now. There's this weird part of me that kind of loves this guy because Dan Hurley is the best bad guy in sports, and he might be one of the best bad guys in wrestling, and he ain't even in wrestling. Dan Hurley's the best heel I've ever seen. He's incredible. Let's take a break. When we come back, John Blau with the Post and Courier talks a little Clemson basketball, a little postmortem of the season, and we turn our eyes to the diamond as Clemson baseball went on the road, got a big ACC series win over the Demon Deacons of Wake Forest. We'll break that down with them and more all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo. And now...
You started calling me Lonzo.
Well, I'm combining the great one, Lonzo.
The blonde bimbo, Lonzo.
The blonde bimbo of sports, Lonzo. And our next guest, the young man who covers the Clemson Tiger Athletic Department for the Post and Courier. John Blau joins us on the phone as he does every Monday at 8:40. Good morning, John Blau. Basketball over. Did you get some rest and relaxation, or were you locked into that Clemson-Wake Forest series?
Both. I got a little bit of, you know, a couple of naps maybe, and also watched, the Clemson-Wake Forest series, and Clemson make another comeback, which they do all the time.
We're going to get into that in a second, but I have to ask you, and this is just as a this is a personal question, John Blau. You're a writer. You cover games in person. Are you a pen and paper during the game to take notes guy? Have you moved up to using a tablet like everybody? And if so, what's the preferred pen for noted sports coverer John Blau?
Oh, yeah. I do not use a pen and paper anymore. I think I did that when I was covering high school sports because I actually had to take stats. So I absolutely did it back then. Do not do it now. Now it's mostly Twitter helps me take notes. I log important moments so that everybody else gets to see them as I go along.
I like that. I obviously follow John Blau on Twitter, as should all of you, J-O-M-B-L-A-U. If you are a Clemson fan, you're not going to find anybody who's more locked in covering games than John Blau. I flipped over to the tablet about a year ago, John, except for I just opened my backpack and I had a pen I've been carrying around for like 4 years and I just found it shattered. And it was like a day-ruining moment for me.
I mean, was the ink everywhere? That's the thing that can be really
No, bad. But like the casing of the pen shattered into multiple pieces. So like there's no getting this one back, right? It wasn't like the ink exploded and it's like, oh, I got a mess, but I can say it. No, the pen is just done. This pen's given me like 3 solid years of service and it's gone just like that. It's depressing, man.
Yeah, that is really disappointing. Again, like I probably moved away from pens because of explosions. And, you know, the laptop bag, the inside has at least, you know, 3 or 4 smears from exploded pens.
All right, good.
I just don't even go there.
Good. I feel better that I'm not alone. All right, John Blau, let's put this college basketball season to bed. Brad Brunell and his Clemson Tiger basketball team dropped their opening round game on Thursday to McNeese State. Former Clemson Tiger Will Wade, the head coach, even though he's leaving for NC State. I came into that game thinking, you know, this is a 5-12 matchup that's interesting, not just because McNeese State probably has more length and size, I think, than any of the other 12 seeds, but also maybe there's that motivation from Will Wade to put the exclamation point on his time in Louisiana with a win over his former school, the school he got his start at. Can I get your 36,000-foot view of that final game of the season for this year's basketball team?
Yeah, I mean, I think I heard that, you know, McNeese State played a defense that they had never played all year. Clemson, I think, it prepared for man-to-man. All of a sudden, they came out with a zone. It looked like Clemson was out of sorts, and, you know, they just started missing shots, and they had some open shots, but they're still missing shots, and they really started pressing to when Brad Brown thinks he saw. And then, you know, obviously 31-13 at half. One of the more shocking halves I've seen of Clemson basketball. Definitely the worst half they played all year. Obviously, they rally in the second half. They get it, you know, back to 2 points by the end of the game, which in a way makes it almost a little more disappointing because, you know, if they had played better, maybe they could have won that game. But, I mean, I guess the really, you know, 30,000-foot view, like you're saying, it's obviously a really disappointing result. I think everybody will remember this game just like they remembered a couple of years ago. You know, Clemson goes 1-and-done against Morehead State. It's kind of the same level other than, obviously, you're in the tournament this time. Not like that a couple of years ago where you weren't even in the tournament. But at the same time, it doesn't completely wipe away every accomplishment. I mean, this is March Madness. These types of things happen. This was a very good team, yet there were some depth issues. There were some shooting issues coming to the tournament. You obviously lose Dylan Hunter to injury. It's a whole bunch of stuff. I don't think it negates everything, but it's obviously going to be a very well-remembered performance in terms of just how shockingly bad it was in the first half and then how much they rallied but then fell short at the end.
Yeah, the kind of take I had on it, John, was that this Tiger team, the last couple of years, the trajectory has very clearly been up. The talent has very clearly been up, and I think especially after the Elite Eight run last year that the expectations were there. And if you go talk to a Carolina, a Duke, a UConn, a team that's been there for year after year after year for a very long time, their fans will tell you, hey, sometimes this happens, right? Like sometimes you just get upset. That's why we all love this tournament. But it doesn't kind of take the sour out of the mouth a little bit of having those elevated expectations after an Elite Eight run. So with that feeling and that emotion, I know we're obviously ways out from Brad Bynum really getting into the gears of getting the offseason going, but he did get his extension. He's locked in through 2031. What does this offseason look like? Do we think Clemson's going to go heavy into the portal? Do we have a recruiting class that we expect better, higher expectations out of? What's this offseason look like for the basketball team?
Yeah, no, they're going to have to go into the portal at least for a couple spots. You know, obviously, Christian Reeves is there at the center. I know Trent Steinuer, I think is how you pronounce his name, is one of the recruits that's going to come in at that spot. But I don't think you can rely on either of those. At the five, you're probably going to have to try to find another Victor Lockin to feel better about your roster like going into next year. At the four spot, obviously, Ian Shefflin, very important player. I don't think you have anybody naturally that's definitely going to play. You know, like a Dallas Thomas, a redshirt freshman, or, you know, maybe go small with a Chauncey Wiggins or Chase Thompson, the freshman. Looks pretty good, but you can't count on that. So you probably need a four as well. In the backcourt, I think you feel pretty good. You've got, obviously, Dylan Hunter coming back. You've got Ace Buckner. You got Del Jones. You got some of these guys. I know there's a question that maybe James Zachary could get back another year. But with the JUCO year he had overlapping with the COVID year, it's kind of iffy. I don't know if that's going to happen. But you feel pretty good that you at least got enough there to get you by. But definitely in the front court, you're going to have to go and get a couple pieces of the portal to feel pretty good about this roster. And you're going to have to see a lot of development from a lot of guys. Again, like a Del Jones, a Chauncey Wiggins. We haven't quite seen that next jump. You have to see a little bit of improvement from each of those guys to kind of keep the NCAA tournament as a goal that's within reach next year, not take a step back as is possible because of the couple of guys that they've lost.
John Blatt from the Post and Courier joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate does so every Monday at 8:40. All right, very quickly, John, let's take a look over at the Diamond ACC play underway for the Clemson Tigers. A three-game set against Wake Forest, the team that has pretty much had Clemson's number the past handful of years, but Clemson takes two out of the three, including a big come-from-behind victory, down 6-0 against number 11 before they fought their way back to win that game 7-6, which means to me this team's got a little resilience, a little gut out to it, which I love to see. Just give me your overall thoughts first and foremost about this series as a whole and what we learned about the baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, I think Eric Backus has said multiple times, his players echo it, that their motto is never out of the fight. I think it was even a year ago on the same date was the Florida State game where Clemson came back a huge deficit late, won that game, and I think they won that series as well. And Obviously, Wake Forest, they do the same thing. Again, like you said, down 6-0 all the way back to 7-6. So it's just kind of been a program thing. I mean, it's just they love to play from behind. They love to rally. They did the same, you know, this weekend, obviously, the Saturday game, down 10-0 and made it a 12-10 game. So yeah, there's a lot of resilience that's just kind of been embedded in these players, that they're back as broad as a mentality. And so, I mean, again, never out of the fight. They've showed that they can make a comeback. It feels like the bats are kind of resurging a little bit, allowing them to make some of those comebacks. They still got to figure out the Sunday starter spot. Justin LeGurdick had two straight outings where he didn't even last an inning. So they got to figure out that, because you don't want to try to win series with a Sunday starter who can't last through the first inning. But the bats are there. The bullpen has been outstanding. I mean, to be able to get them in a position to be able to make those comebacks. And so, yeah, I mean, obviously number 7 beats number 11 in the country. It's obviously a high level win, and Clemson probably will continue to move up those top 25 rankings.
You've had some spots where you've relied on the pitching. You've had some spots where you've relied on the bats. Aiden Konak had 6 innings of 2-hit ball, 10 Ks in the opening set of the series, a 5-1 win back on Friday. Is this team kind of starting to find its balance? I know with a lot of college baseball team, it's going to take a couple of weeks, maybe in a conference play, before the team really kind of finds its chemistry 1-9 at the dish. Are we kind of feeling like Clemson's in that zone right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think some guys are coming around. Again, he's still got to figure out that Sunday starter spot. But, you know, you talk about Aiden Konak. I mean, I think through 4 starts, I think his ERA was like 5.30, which, you know, is not horrible, but not good for an ace. I think the last few starts, I think he's a 0.69 ERA the last couple of starts and in ACC play. And I think it's like a 0.46 whip or something like that, something ridiculous, 22 Ks and 2 starts. And so, yeah, he's really turned it on. I think, again, the bullpen's really figured it out. Lucas Malmstead and, you know, a few of these other guys. And I think hitting-wise, you know, Cam Cantarella, Luke Gaffney, some of those guys slumped a little early. They're starting to really kind of find the stride you were hoping they would have with Dominic Listy and Jaren Purifoy at the top of the order now, all producing. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of things that have kind of clicked into gear. They're still, again, trying to figure out that rotation. I think it really did hurt Dane Moeller, the freshman. I think they had really high hopes for him, and then the UCL injury and being out for the entire year. But if they can get that figured out, they can figure out the back end of their starting rotation, I think they'll be pretty good.
John Blau covers the Clemson Athletic Department for the Post and Courier, joins us every Monday at 8:40 as we switch our attention over to the Diamond for the rest of the spring. John, my man, I appreciate it, brother. I'm go get you some rest, buddy. It's nothing till the midweek series, I'm sure.
Yeah, I actually got spring ball later today, so we'll be out there.
There it is.
We'll get some naps in again as we have.
There it is. Team Siesta forever. John Blau, talk to you next week, big fella. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it.
You got it. John Blau for the Post and Courier again joins us every Monday right here on the Fan Upstate, and we are appreciative of his time. We have a lot more to get to in the final 60 minutes of the Rob Brown Show. It is opening day in Major League Baseball. The Braves made a couple of moves over the weekend. We'll talk about those. We got to get a little NHL and NBA playoff hot. Well, we're not in the playoffs, but the drama's picking up. We love some drama.
It's also not opening day. It's going to be opening day.
Well, it's not opening day
but
today.
But you made it sound
opening,
like it was.
It's opening day week.
Okay, there you go. That's better.
It's opening day week in Major League Baseball, and the Braves have made some moves, which we will evaluate. And Anderson gone, but they go pick up a guy who's had some success and also has been sent down to the minors a bunch of times. Good move, Ben Neuf. We'll discuss that and more. All of that comes after the Sunday starter of sports flashes, Lonzo. It's a compliment, by the way.
Okay, I just realized I was I'm standards and practices here on the show. I'm going to tell you about this. It's a record-setting Sweet 16 as Ole Miss became the 7th Southeastern Conference team to make the 3rd round of the NCAA Basketball Championship Tournament. The conference already set the bar with the most teams included in the tournament with 16. That's a lot. That's like almost everybody. The Atlanta Braves made a pitching move yesterday, sending starter Ian Anderson off to the Angels in return for left-hander Jose Suarez through Anderson carried a 2.65 ERA, but walked 18 through 17 innings this spring and hasn't pitched in the majors since 2022 after undergoing Tommy John surgery in 2023. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel ride shotgun on your drive home and get you up to date on all the latest and local national sports news.